Thank you all. I'm truly honored, humbled, and blessed to be here today. Dave asked earlier, and if you turned on the TV this morning, turned on the radio, or even talked to a friend, the question that's been asked all day long from people, where were you during 9/11? We don't want to forget. Very understandable. And like they said on that day, I, at 7 o'clock in the morning, was at Bowling Air Force Base going through a first sergeant's meeting, which was one of the jobs that I did with the Air Force as a first sergeant at the Pentagon. As I was, we were going through, we took a break about 9. I told the command chief that I could not stay for the rest of that meeting because that day, back at the Pentagon, I had to be there to take my written test for my promotion from Master Sergeant to Senior Master Sergeant. So I jumped on my motorcycle, which was a 1500 Goldwing, and I was riding from Bowling Air Force Base across 295 and down into the Pentagon. I parked near a light pole and I was running towards the building. I did not know what had happened. Didn't know what was going on. All I know is that when I got to the door by corridor 2, doors were locked. I banged on the door because I didn't know what was going on. And I had a Pentagon police officer push me by the chest and tell me, you gotta leave. Why? We're under lockdown, you need to go somewhere else. I walked from corridor 2 back down and walked back towards my motorcycle. As I'm walking back towards my motorcycle, I'm looking towards Khobar Towers where the Marine Corps have their folks over there. And as I get to my motorcycle and grab my helmet, I watch a plane start coming down across 27 and start dropping its landing gear. As it dropped its landing gear, it dropped down a little bit more and hit 2 light poles and sheared off the long portion of the light pole, one of them coming down, hitting a taxi, spinning it around, and injuring the 2 people in the taxi. It came on down further and then crashed into between corridor 2 and corridor 3. And as it hit on there and I am walking, I feel a blast, heat, and I got blown back and hit that same light pole, darn it, that my motorcycle was by. Did not know how injured I was or anything. All I remembered is there are people hurt. My job in the Air Force was a paramedic. So, as all paramedics here know, we don't run away, we run into the fracas and try to do what we can. I was not concerned about what happened to me or anything. My concern was helping as many people as I could while I was there. I had a few minutes to start pulling some people out. One of the times that I ran in, I just happened to see what I initially thought was rubbish, but then when I went down, it was a lady. She was laying down, her back completely burned, and she's in a semi-fetal position. When I touched her, she screamed and threw up what looked like her coat at me. Didn't understand at first. I was getting ready to throw it to the side when she yelled at me and said, "That's my baby in there." That day, this specialist, E4, from the Army, had chosen that day to go into the Pentagon to present her newborn baby to the rest of her office members. I then grabbed the baby, and apparently because it was so, she had grabbed it so tight, she kind of, the baby was not breathing. Luckily, by the time I ran from where I got her to the where the ambulance was, thank God we got her breathing by doing CPR. Went back in, pulled her out, and then went in a little further. And on that day, I had hearing screaming, hearing a lot of noise. When I got further, got to a door, which was very hot, it was a metal door, and I heard a bunch of people. And I called and I said, how many are there? He said, there's 22 of us in here, we're trapped. Went in, tried to do what I can. The smoke was too much, could barely see anything. Tried to see what I could do, had to come back out. By then, the fire chief for Arlington County was already on scene and grabbed a bunch of us and said, where do you think you're going? Told him, we are going there back into the building. There's an office there that's got 22 people in. We need to get out. He looked at us and he said, gentlemen, you're not going anywhere. But sir, you're not going anywhere. I asked him, give me breathing apparatus, give me something, but we need to get those people out of there. He says, you're not going anywhere. No one is getting anywhere near the building. Now remember, at that time, the fire chief becomes the unseen commander and has control of everything. And he said no one was going anywhere there. So a bunch of us went around along either side and we kept pulling people out. By about noon, we had all kinds of police, fire, military was there. By about 12:30, I got called because I was up on top of a Jersey barrier. You all know what that is. That's what you see on the highways when you're dividing the highway. I was on top of one of those with a bullhorn, and I was yelling at people trying to get things organized, trying to get things better organized so that we can see what we can do. I all of a sudden heard a voice. This one gentleman says, Sergeant, what the hell do you think you're doing there? When I looked down, it was a 3-star general. Pulled me down off of there and says, you need to come down off here, talk to me, tell me what's going on. When I explained to him, told him what I was doing, he says, well, how do you know all of this? Oh, sir, that's what you've trained me to do. This is the job that you've trained me to do. I'm doing my job. He says, fine. By the end of that day, I was named the unseen medical commander and took over command of all of the medical units that were there, both military and civilian, because when he told me this, the Arlington County medical commander, civilian medical commander was there. They talked it out and that's what they decided. So I spent the rest of that day, the rest of the 2 weeks, pulling out all the bodies, pulling out all the remains that we can find from all of the people that were there. On that day, we lost 186 people, from the folk that were inside the plane and the folk that were inside the Pentagon. The blessing that we had that day, if you can call it a blessing, is that the area that they hit was the area that was under construction. That area had been completely evacuated a long time ago, and they were just gonna get started moving folks back into that area because they were getting ready to move on to Corridor 4 and Corridor 5 to start reconstruction. Understand, the Pentagon was built in 1947 and was done just so you know, September 11, 1949 was the day that the military was given the keys from the contractors to occupy the building. That's why this day was so significant, because they told that day, a day that the military took charge of the Pentagon, that long ago. But more importantly, I want to ask each and every single one of you that have gone through some horrific times. It's not where were you during 9/11 then, it's where are you today? We have gone through a lot. We still, from time to time, get those flashbacks, and we still hurt. Some of us are blessed. We have a wife, my wife Alba, right here. We have friends, Chino, family members that have come alongside of us, have told us, you can make it. Lean on me. I'm willing to help you. My wife went through some rough times with me. After 9/11, there were many days where she went up to bed, came back the next morning, and I was still pacing around downstairs because I couldn't sleep. There were many days when she put food on the table for me and I couldn't eat because I still remember hearing the screams of the 22 people, the 22 bodies that I pulled out 3 days later. There were many days when she tried to talk to me and I was so angry, so hurt, didn't understand why all this had happened, and took it out on her. But thank God for her and other folks that came alongside of me, that helped me start my healing process. I know there are many of you guys that are here today that are still possibly looking for that hand. All you need to do is reach out. There are people, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room that if you tell them, give me a hand, they'll be more than willing to say, I'm with you, buddy. Lean on me. Tell me what you need. Tell me how can I help you. Because a lot of times, we don't ask for help when we really need it. And that's our mistake. That's where we have to own that mistake. When we feel we're too big, too man, too strong to say I'm weak and I need help. I have my service dog that has helped me a lot. Before I got him, I was taking as many as 13, 14 different types of medication to help me sleep, to help me wake up, to help me get through the day. Since I've got my service animal, Randall, I'm down to 2 medications a day that I use for sleep and to help me keep myself balanced. I'm back to work. I work at Disney 3 days a week. I am active at my church. If you don't remember anything else about today, remember one important thing. People are willing to be to help you if you're willing to look for it, if you're willing to go out there and say, hey, I can't handle it anymore. Please help me. You'll find many people here that are willing to say, I've got a shoulder. It's yours when you need it. My name is Noel Sepulveda. I do service other veterans by helping them get service animals, by helping train service animals, and I am willing to help anyone. Come by a little bit later, ask me for the information. I'm as close as your telephone. Don't stay thinking that you have no help. Don't go another minute struggling alone. You don't need to. There are folks that are willing to help if you're only willing to accept the help. Thank you for the time. Thank you for having me.